It's a Tech Thursday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Before we get started here today, a reminder, Pecan Day is now on April 6th in Yuba City, California. The California Walnut Conference will be held April 7th and April 8th in Yuba City, California. And the North Valley Nut Conference will be on June 8th in Orland, California. We start off Tech Thursday with a report from Taylor Charlstrom. He'll talk about an artificially intelligent mummy nut removal robot. And the show will begin right after this.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236 or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
The Roomba, a robotic floor sweeper, has been a hot Christmas gift for the past few years for consumers wanting to have hands-free cleaning. Almond growers may soon get their own robotic cleanup machine with the introduction of Insight Track's Rover Autonomous Mummy Nut Remover. The brainchild of Anna Haldewang, Insight Track founder and CEO, the Rover uses mounted cameras to, quote, see mummies. It then knocks them from trees by firing biodegradable pellets powered by air blasts, much like an airsoft gun. The machine is designed to eliminate pulling crews and possibly winter shaking, depending on the number of unharvested nuts left on trees. And unlike human mummy removal, the Rover can operate around the clock for a couple of days before its pellet supply needs to be refilled. During a season, it can cover about 425 acres, a comparable pace to a pulling crew of 8 people working 9-hour days. Haldewang explained how and why the technology was developed.
Current methods for removing mummies from the trees rely on shakers and hand pullers to come in. The issues with shakers, for example, is that they rely on fog or after a rain to remove all those mummies from the trees. And plus, you have no control over how many mummies are actually able to come off. And pullers, which are labor contractors, leather and labor are both really hard to come by these days, which is why we invented an autonomous method to be able to remove all those mummies from the trees and be able to get down to that industry standard of 2 or less per tree in order to have the best start to the crop year. And in the beginning, we tried all sorts of methods at removing the mummies. We tried water and air jets. We tried these personalized made-up limb shakers, but an airsoft gun was the most effective at removing them from the tree. And that's what has served as our inspiration all throughout development.
An interesting aspect of this is that Haldewang doesn't actually have any agricultural background in tree nuts. She was a student in product design in Georgia at the time that the idea was had.
In one of those class projects, I ended up creating this pollinating drone concept, and it ended up going viral worldwide. And from that positive feedback, I founded the company in 2017. Set my sights on the almond industry for obvious reasons. But after listening to growers and hearing their feedback, I learned about the difficulties and challenges with winter sanitation and wanted to create a product to help with this issue.
Using artificial intelligence and drawing from the Rover's mummy image database, the computer, quote, brain within the Rover can accurately identify and remove mummies up to 30 feet away when going down the rows.
As we're going down the middle of the row, we'll stop in front of a section of a tree, depending on the size of the tree, and it will capture an image, map out the fast and the quickest route to all those mummies in a matter of seconds. And when once it identifies that path, it then removes each mummy in under a second with a biodegradable pellet. And so once it finishes within that section, then takes another image to verify that it's removed all those mummies before it moves forward 5 or 10 feet and repeats that process.
Other interesting features of the Rover include an onboard battery and a fully autonomous system.
The rover is battery powered. We can run for 3 straight days without human interaction at all because those batteries are then powered by an onboard generator. It's going to be fully autonomous in the near future. We have 2 turrets at the top of the rover, then those can rotate 360 degrees, and this allows the grower to be able to customize it to their field. So for example, if you have one side of the row, one variety is heavier than the other side, well, then you can face both turrets on one side, and it can do double action or moving those mummies from the trees, or you can have one turret facing one way and one turret facing the other way as it goes down and removes those mummies. We have a vision system that is also able to identify, and it 3D maps all of those mummies in the trees.
The battery powered aspect and the autonomy aspect of the rover means that it can operate day and night, which is a big selling point for this type of technology and could bring on labor savings compared to those of pulling crews.
Well, we don't take breaks. It operates 24/7. So, for example, we're estimating that we can replace 8 pullers in a field. Say, for example, if you have 50 mummies per tree, we're estimating that we can get through 1 acre in about 3 hours. And in a whole season, we can get through 425 acres at 50 mummies per tree operating 24/7 with the labor savings involved there. It depends on your mummy counts and your infestation levels, but there can be significant cost savings with the autonomous unit.
Another interesting aspect is the testing process that went through with the biodegradable pellets. Haldewang said that not any pellet can be used for this type of operation.
We've tested out many different varieties of pellets, and we have found the perfect pellet that is perfectly round and glazed. And it's amazing how not just any brand will be able to you can put in the hopper because it does affect the accuracy of it. So growers will be able to purchase that through us.
Haldewang also discussed some of the challenges associated with developing the rover.
I will say one of the most challenging pieces for us was the vision system. It's incredibly new and unique compared to what is out there today. That would be the biggest challenge for us was how you can identify something so small in such an inorganic and changing environment and then map it out accurately. So we have an awesome, talented team, a lot of research with the latest tech and understanding how to put those latest technologies together. There's many hours and days of testing, a lot of trials, and thousands of images were taken to be able to identify these mummies in the trees. So in each of those thousands of images, we then had a team of people go through and hand box all of those mummies in those images in order to train the model to identify what a mummy is and what it isn't.
The imaging process would have to be done separately for each individual tree nut crop. The focus right now for Haldewang and the rover is almonds, but they are looking to expand in walnuts and pistachios in the future.
We're going to be doing some early trials for pistachios this winter.
While the rover goes down the orchard rows, in addition to collecting image data, it also collects other forms of data that can be helpful to growers.
While it's targeting and removing the mummies from the trees, it's collecting data. It's counting every mummy in each tree down to variety and even each acre. So in the end, we'll be able to present the grower with a heat map, and we'll be able to show them where they were heaviest in the orchard and where they were lightest, for example. And over time, the grower is able to see patterns within their orchard. So maybe in the next year, they shake that one section of the orchard twice during harvest. Or maybe there's a correlation with mummies because there was a huge amount of water stress that caused more that year. You know, what is the overall performance for each tree? We really want to get it down to a per tree basis because the health and overall performance of each tree impacts the quality and the yield of the orchard.
Haldewang noted in an article for West Coast Nut that some of the current supply chains that the United States is experiencing might affect the way that the rover is implemented into orchards and rolled out. She explained what this process might look like.
We're taking orders, pre-season orders right now for delivery of these rovers, our first round of delivery, quarter four of this year, to a handful of growers. So we're looking forward to partnering with those growers, and then over time we'll expand into other crops and other countries as well.
Stay tuned for regional and national agricultural news headlines.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Being a member of the California walnut industry means working together to advance the industry through advocacy, research programs, and promoting walnuts with smart, cost-effective marketing. Learn more at walnuts.org.
The Musco Family Olive Company is leading the transformation of the table olive industry. We are committed to the California olive grower and invite you to grow with our family. Modern table olive orchards apply newly perfected state-of-the-art planting and harvesting to one of the world's oldest tree crops for proven superior results. There is opportunity in any crop transition, and Musco is proud to offer long-term contracts and free trees to our grower partners. Visit us at the Agro Melora booth at the upcoming Calusa Farm Show and the World Ag Expo. See you there. In regional agricultural news here today, the United States Department of Agriculture will purchase U.S.-grown table grapes as part of its 2022 food purchase and distribution program. The USDA recently announced its commitment of $30 million to purchase U.S.-grown table grapes in 2022 for distribution of food banks and other food programs around the country. Purchases will be made June through December, a time frame during which California-grown table grapes dominate U.S. production. The award, which came as a result of a formal request made by the California Table Grape Commission, will mark the third year in a row that table grapes have been included in the federal food purchasing program. Table grape shippers interested in participating in the program must apply to become a USDA vendor and then, if approved, submit bids in a competitive process. Growers must undergo and pass the USDA Good Agricultural Practices and Good Handling Practices audits. GAP focuses on farm review and field harvesting and packing activities, while GHP covers packing houses, cold storage, and transportation. The USDA award announcement comes as planning for the 2022 California table grape season gets underway and meetings with retailers are scheduled. Part of planning for this season includes knowing what commitments are already made for the upcoming crop. Approximately 99% of table grapes are grown in California. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has announced a $9 million investment in new cooperative extension and USDA Climate Hub partnerships to bolster climate research and connect and share climate smart solutions directly with the agricultural community. The investment is part of the National Institute of Food and Agriculture's Agriculture and Food Research Initiative, the nation's leading competitive grants program for agricultural sciences. This new AFRI program area provides effective, translatable, and scalable approaches to address climate change through regional partnerships, including the USDA Climate Hubs, and further extends outreach through organizations such as the Cooperative Extension Service, according to USDA. Of the initial six funded projects, the University of California received money to develop multifaceted pathways with the California Climate Hub to climate smart agriculture through stakeholder needs assessments, climate smart agriculture trainings for technical service providers, regional workshops for farmers and ranchers, and student education with extension service learning opportunities. Participatory program development and delivery through extensive network of stakeholders, collaborators, and supporters are at the core of this integrated proposal. The proposal is for $1,500,000. The others that receive monies include the Pennsylvania State University, Montana State University, Ohio State University, the Desert Research Institute Native Climate in Reno, Nevada, and a USDA Caribbean Climate Hub. It's turned quiet in California weather-wise, although the state still needs more precipitation. U.S. Department of Agriculture reporter Stephanie Ho and U.S. Department of Agriculture meteorologist Brad Rippey.
Much of the country this week can expect relatively tranquil weather.
And that does include California through the Southwest. where, of course, we had a record-setting wet December with some huge snow accumulations in key watershed areas like the Sierra Nevada.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey notes that it has turned quiet again.
This western water supply situation remains a bit tenuous despite the incredibly stormy December. We do not want to go through the rest of this year, the second half of the western winter wet season, without significant precipitation. We need to start that stormy regime back up at some point so that we can continue with this pattern of drought relief.
He says many times storms are described in terms of how they disrupt travel.
But these western storms are critical to the water supply picture for this region, whether it's municipal water, agricultural water, or other purposes such as maintaining river levels for environmental requirements.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says American ports are making progress in clearing log jams that have delayed exports of billions of dollars of farm commodities. However, in a speech to the American Farm Bureau Federation at their annual convention, Vilsack said too many empty shipping containers are still being rushed back to the Far East without having agricultural products in them. The port crunch has sharply impacted exports of California tree nuts and wine, according to Vilsack. Midwinter cold fog is a healthy recipe for fruit and nut trees, as fruit and nut trees in the Central Valley are chilling out, and that's exactly what farmers want to see. Chill hours are when temperatures are between 32 and 45 degrees Fahrenheit, and it helps to keep the trees dormant. Sufficient winter chill hours promote healthy spring growth and summer and fall yields. Warming can result in late or uneven blooms and lower yields. Hard freezes can cause damage. So far, University of California agriculture officials say mildly cold and foggy conditions have been the perfect recipe. And those heavy early season rains welcomed by many California farmers are challenging for pomegranate growers. If the fruit takes in too much water too quickly, it can split. And pomegranate growers say they are seeing some negative impacts from too much rain too soon. Most of the crop was harvested before the heavy rains in October, but some growers estimated that the 2021 harvest was off by 15% or more from the previous year. Overall, California is expected to produce 300 million pounds of pomegranate. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has published its long-anticipated proposed rule on the ag water component of the Food Safety Modernization Act. This is a significant change in regulatory expectations for evaluating and mitigating microbial risks associated with agricultural water. The proposed rule includes a public comment period that extends through April 5th. All growers are encouraged to evaluate this set of regulations and weigh in with concerns about how it will affect their operations. There are opportunities to participate in virtual sessions, one of which is on January 20th from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Dr. Joy Waite Cusick of Oregon State University will compare and contrast the current rule with a proposed rule, as well as how to submit an effective public comment to the docket. Dr. Shanna Rock, University of Arizona, and Dr. Linda Harris, University of California Davis, will share their thoughts on the implications of the proposed rule, as well as share questions that they have been asked by stakeholders. Attendees will also have an opportunity to ask questions, time permitting. Registration is required. Growers, produce safety educators, extension specialists, Department of Agriculture personnel are all encouraged to attend. For more information on the upcoming training, contact the Western Regional Center to Enhance Food Safety at 503-872-6680. Let your bees carry a beneficial biofungicide directly to flowers and reduce brown rot, blossom blight, and jacket rot. Sign up for a field trial of bee vectoring and the biofungicide Vectorite with CR7 on your almond orchard. Deadline is January 15th for setup and use at the start of your February bloom. Email contact at beevt.com. 2021 may not have been a normal year, but it was a good year for farmers, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation chief economist Roger Cryan. And Cryan says 2022 is already not particularly normal with issues from 2020, and 2021 is carrying over into the new year.
The pandemic is not over, so people are still spending money differently. They're buying stuff instead of restaurant meals or tickets to the ball game, so forth. Crowded ports and too few truck drivers are making it hard to move ag products and other stuff that people are buying. And of course, geopolitics is affecting our access to markets and our availability of farm inputs in many ways as well. And inflation is a very serious concern for the first time in 40 years.
Cryan says net farm income is expected to be above average for 2022, but they don't expect any further government payments beyond normal programs. Meanwhile, supply chain issues are also top of mind for AFBF members, according to President Zippy Duvall.
Well, there's two issues. They're concerned about the prices, and they're even more concerned about the availability of it. We got some suppliers saying they're going to try their best to deliver to their everyday customers that do business with them every day, but it's going to prevent new customers and new farmers and new people getting involved in agriculture from even having a supply to go to. But we're very, very concerned. Whatever the interruption is, whether it be at our ports, whether it be in tariffs, whatever that might be, we got to find a solution to it.
In addition, farm labor is another top issue for AFBF constituents. CropLife America joined more than 350 organizations engaged with pesticide products in a letter sent to Congress affirming their support for the current pesticide regulatory system. The letter is in response to legislation that would undermine the science-based standards in the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. The legislation undermines the work of the Environmental Protection Agency's career scientists in the evaluation of pesticide registration and use, according to Chris Novak, president and CEO of CropLife America. The evaluation of each pesticide requires EPA scientists to review hundreds of studies to determine whether a pesticide can get safely used. The groups point out in a letter that the proposed legislation would jeopardize the availability of pesticide products by imposing an unscientific process that could remove pest control options from the market. Congress amended FIFRA several times to strengthen the regulatory standard for safety, most recently through the Food Quality Protection Act that added specific protections for infants and children. Coming up next, I talk labor issues with California Citrus Mutual.
Soil fumigation is a critical step to ensure that your orchard gets off to a good start. Trichlor is a pre-plant soil fumigant and is the foundation for a successful pest management system. Targeted pathogens include soil-borne disease and nematodes. Fumigation helps to create a healthy soil environment that allows the plant's root system to flourish. For more information about Trichlor or to schedule an application, contact Trical Incorporated at 669-327-5076 or visit www.trical.com.
Once again, this is Lori Boyer here with you on My Ag Life Daily News Report. I check in with Casey Creamer now. He is the President and Chief Executive Officer of California Citrus Mutual. Casey, can you talk to me more about some of the labor issues that growers are dealing with?
Yeah, the labor issue is very, very complicated as well. It's a tough issue. We've been pushing for multiple years for comprehensive immigration reform. We know we have an aging workforce. We have less and less people that want to do this kind of work. It's tough, skilled work. And so we need to have a good guest worker program to bring people over and legally work. And then we have people here today by no fault of their own that need to have some sort of legal work authorization. And so we've been fighting that issue for a number of years. That's a broader ag issue. It's hugely important to citrus because it requires a hand harvest. But we're working as diligently as we can. We thought there was an opportunity here earlier this year to have comprehensive immigration reform that failed. In the meantime, what we're doing is the citrus industry is more and more looking into the H-2A program, utilizing that to offset the shortages that we have from the local supply. And so I would expect that trend to continue as the labor challenges don't seem to be letting up.
And a follow-up question to that, when you mentioned you'd like to see labor reform, can you give me a couple of key points that the organization feels would be beneficial for growers?
Well, the first thing is the legalization. I mean, if we got people here working today that are essential workers, when the COVID pandemic hit, we had to keep harvesting. We had to keep that food supply. We had shortages on the shelf. I mean, and I think it's real easy for people to forget that. And so those people that were out there were also at risk of being deported. So we were actually submitting or getting cards in people's hands or papers that says, I'm an essential employee and I need to go to work today during the lockdowns because there were people stopping people and forcing them to stay at home. So as you can imagine, if you are an undocumented worker, an essential worker, and you're trying to go to work during a pandemic, and you also have the fear of getting pulled over, by law enforcement because you're just going to work, that's a problem. And that needs to be fixed. It needed to be fixed 20 years ago. So that's one major issue I would say needs to be fixed. And then, you know, the problem we have today is because we didn't have a legal system, a workable legal system in the past. And so we need to correct that so we're not in the same situation 30 years from now.
Well, thank you for joining me here today and educating us about some of the things going on in the California and the U.S. citrus industry. Once again, Casey Creamer, my guest here today on the show. He is the president and chief executive officer of California Citrus Mutual.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.